First canto, second chapter. The son of Drona punished. Text 17. Iti priyang balgu vichitra jalpai sa santai tvachut.
Santoitvachyuta
Mitra Sutaha Anna Dravad Dangshita Ugra Hanna Kapi Dhajo Guru Putram Rathena. Iti priyang balgu vichitra jalpai sashanta itta chuta mitra suta anva drava dangshita ugra dhanya kapithajo guru putram rathena iti priyang balgu vichitra jalpai shasanta itta chuta mitra suta anna drava dangshita ugra dhanya kapithajo guru putram rathena iti priyang balgu vichitra jalpai sasanta itva chuta mitra suta anna drava dangshita ugra dhanva kapithajo guru putra Ram Rathena.
Ravi Vajra Guru Putram Rathena.
Priyang
unto the deer,
Balgu,
sweet,
Vichitra,
variegated,
Jalpoi, by statement, Saha,
he,
Shantoitva,
satisfying.
Achyuta Mitra Suta.
Achyuta
Mitra Suta. Arjun, who is guided by the infallible Lord as a friend and driver.
Arjun, who is guided by the infallible Lord as a friend and driver.
Anvadravat.
Anvadravat.
Followed.
Followed.
Dangshita.
Dangshita.
Being protected by.
Being protected by
Kavacha.
Being protected by
Kavacha. Ugradhanna.
Equipped with furious
weapons.
Kopit Dhajaha.
Arjun.
Guru
Putram.
The
son of the material teacher.
The
son
of the martial teacher.
Rathena.
Getting on the chariot.
Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Arjun, who is guided by the infallible Lord as friend and driver, thus satisfied the dear lady by such statements. Then he dressed in armor and armed himself with furious weapons. And getting into his chariot, he set out to follow Aswatthama, the son of his martial teacher. This verse doesn't have a purport, so I'll go to the next one.
Tamapatantam shavilakshadhurat kumarod vignamanarathena paradravat prana parishpurarvam javad gamam rudra bhayatataka.
Aswatthama, the murderer of the princesses, the murder of the princes, seeing from a great distance Arjuna coming at him with great speed, fled in his chariot, panic-stricken, just to save his life, as Brahma fled in fear from Shiva. Purport by Śrīla Prabhupāda. According to the reading matter, either Kaha or Arkaha, there are two references in the Puranas. Ka means Brahma, who once became allured by his daughter and began to follow her, which infuriated Lord Shiva, who attacked Brahma with his trident. Brahmaji fled in fear of his life. As far as Arka is concerned, there is a reference in the Vamana Purana. There was a demon by the name of Biddunmali, who was gifted with a glowing golden airplane which traveled to the back of the sun, and night disappeared because of the glowing effulgence of his plane. Thus, the sun god became angry, and with his virulent rays, he melted the plane. This enraged Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva then attacked the sun god, who fled away and at last fell down at Kashi, Varanasi, and the place became famous as Lolarka. Ashwatthama, the murderer of the princes, seeing from a great distance Arjuna coming at him with great speed, fled in his chariot, panic-stricken, just fever. So, when the battle of Kurukshetra ended, the Pandavas were celebrating their victory. And the whole night they celebrated, they were in a very festive mood, great festive mood. And then they all, as it is, they were all very tired from the long and arduous war. And then they had this celebration. So they all were very tired and they were fast asleep. And at that time, Ashwatthama entered in the Pandava camp, and he started to slaughter all the Pandavas who were in the tents. Actually, Ashwatthama did that because the day before that, Duryodhan was defeated by Bhima. Duryodhan was hiding under water, and the Pandavas could find out that Duryodhan was hiding under the water in a lake, so they asked Duryodhan to come out. And they started to address him with very insulting words. They started telling Duryodhan, "You are such a big fighter. You had been always wanting to fight with us, and now you are hiding. You better put on sari. This armor and helmet of a warrior doesn't befit you. You better put on a sari now." So Duryodhan then came out. Actually, the battle was lost for him. Everyone died. The only person that survived in his side were Kripacharya and Ashwatthama. And he said something? Kritavarma. So, so Duryodhan, becoming very tired and heartbroken, he was hiding in a lake. And then being insulted by the Pandavas like that, after all he was a Kshatriya, he came out of the water. And the Pandavas then gave him a choice, that he could fight with any one of the five brothers, and he could choose the weapon. Krishna was there. Krishna actually laid that condition to him. So Duryodhan, it's going to be a fair battle, it's going to be a fair fight, so You can choose your opponent and you can choose your weapon. And Duryodhan selected Bhima because Bhima was his arch enemy. And he selected mess as the weapon because he was very expert in mess fight. He was personally trained up in mess fighting by Balaram. And incidentally, Balaram also arrived there at that time. After Balaram, before the Battle of Kurukshetra, he went on a pilgrimage. And when the battle ended, Balaram also arrived there. And so Duryodhan and Bhima started to fight. Although Bhima was more powerful, Bhima was stronger than Duryodhan, but Duryodhan was more skilled in mess fight especially. And Bhima could not defeat Duryodhan. So at that time, Krishna reminded Duryodhan by signaling, reminded Bhima by giving a signal that he took a promise. He took a vow at one time that he would break Duryodhan's thigh. That was when Draupadi was lost in the game of dice by Yudhishthir Maharaj. Then Draupadi was dragged into the assembly. And Dushasan brought her by grabbing her by her hair and just caught her by the hair and dragged her into the assembly. And at that time, Duryodhan gave him a signal by pointing to his thigh that he should strip her naked. And that's the time Dushasan tried to pull her sari, and that time Draupadi took shelter of Krishna, and Krishna kept on supplying her unlimited length of sari. Dushasan became tired of pulling the saris. He was pulling on one end and Krishna was supplying on the other end. So this way he became tired and finally gave up. But at that time Bhima took a vow that he would break Duryodhan's thigh, and he took a vow that he would drink Dushasan's blood. And Bhima fulfilled that other promise of drinking Dushasan's blood when in the battle of Kurukshetra Bhima defeated Dushasan, and Dushasan was wounded, lying in the ground. Then he just went there, ripped open his chest and started drinking his blood. He didn't drink actually, he took it in his mouth and spat it out. So, and here Krishna reminded Bhima that the thigh was the place where he should hit him. And just being instructed by Krishna, although it was against the code of warfare, law of warfare according to the Vedic warriors, to hit below the belt. But Bhima simply followed Krishna's instruction and just hit him on the waist by his mess, and with his broken thigh, Duryodhan was lying there. Actually, at that time, Balaram became very angry and he attacked Bhima. He wanted to kill Bhima with his plow. Balaram carries two weapons. Balaram has two weapons. One is plow and the other is mess. So, he attacked Bhima with the plow, but Krishna actually stopped him at that time, and he pointed out that it was not Bhima's fault, because Bhima took a vow that he would break Duryodhana's thigh. So he had to fulfill his promise. And this was the time. Because if Duryodhana was lying, defeated and wounded, then he couldn't go there and break his thigh. So he had to break his thigh in the battle, in a fight. So then Dar Balaram was pacified. So this is how the war was won for the Pandavas. But soon after that, when Duryodhan was lying on the bank of the lake with his thigh broken, Ashwatthama arrived there. And Ashwatthama, son of Drona, became very much infuriated. And he already was very angry because the Pandavas killed his father, Dronacharya, by some unfair means. That's also another trick that was laid by Krishna for the Pandavas to kill Dronacharya. That day Dronacharya was fighting very vehemently, furiously, valiantly. He was fighting the battle and no one could stand in front of him. So Krishna told Yudhishthir Maharaj that there's no way we can stop Drona today. And Dronacharya actually took a vow that he would kill Arjuna. Because the night before, Duryodhan insulted Dronacharya, saying that he was being partial to the Pandavas and that's why he was not fighting with full strength, full valor. And so Dronacharya at that time took a vow that the next day either I'll kill Arjuna or I'll be killed. So Krishna went and told Yudhishthir Maharaj that please try to stop him and otherwise he's going to kill Arjuna. And then Yudhishthir Maharaj asked what can be done. So he said that Dronacharya is very fond of his son Ashwatthama. And only if he hears that his son Ashwatthama is dead, he will give up he'll drop his weapon. And that would be the time when Dronacharya would be vulnerable. Otherwise it's impossible to kill Dronacharya. And incidentally, Drishtadyumna, Draupadi's brother, appeared to kill Dronacharya. Drupad, when he was insulted by Dronacharya, he performed a sacrifice to kill Dronacharya. And from that sacrificial fire, Drishtadyumna appeared, a person who was meant to kill Dronacharya. And also from the same sacrificial fire, Draupadi also appeared. So the understanding was that Drishtadyumna is the one who is going to kill Dronacharya. But as long as Dronacharya has weapons in his hand, no one would be able to kill him. So Krishna told Yudhishthir Maharaj to announce that Ashwatthama is dead. But Yudhishthir Maharaj refused to lie. So Krishna said, Yudhishthir, then Arjuna will die. So Yudhishthir Maharaj said, let Arjuna die, let all of us die. But still I want to tell a lie. He was so truthful. And so then Krishna told Bhima, Bhima, our brother Yudhishthir is not going to lie. So you do one thing, you go and kill this elephant called Ashwatthama. Then our brother will be able to tell the truth. So Bhim just went. At that time actually Dronacharya was coming because the Pandava side they started shouting, Ashwatthama is dead, Ashwatthama is dead. But Dronacharya could not believe that. But he, when heard that, he thought that Yudhishthir Maharaj is the only one who he would believe. Because he never tells a lie. And Dronacharya was coming towards Yudhishthir Maharaj. And he had only a few seconds actually. Bhima had only a few seconds. So he just jumped there and grabbed that elephant and tore it apart. And at that time, Dronacharya just came there and Krishna said, now Yudhishthir, say that Ashwatthama is dead. And Yudhishthira announced, Ashwatthama is dead, the elephant. In Sanskrit it goes that Ashwatthama the elephant is dead. The Sanskrit structure will be, or Sanskrit structure is, Ashwatthama is dead, the elephant. But as soon as Yudhishthira Maharaj said Ashwatthama is dead, Krishna blew his conch shell. Dronacharya could not hear that end part, the elephant. So he immediately dropped his weapons because he felt now there is no need to fight the battle. And immediately, Drishtadyumna, he was just waiting for this moment. So he just severed his head from his body. So as it is, Ashwatthama, who was very fond of his father, was very upset when he heard that how treacherously Pandavas killed his father. And now he saw that Duryodhan is lying with his thigh broken. So he became very, very furious within. But there was nothing he could do. The battle is lost. So that night, Ashwatthama was lying under a tree. And he saw one owl came and attacked the nest of a bird where there were some baby birds. And the owl killed the babies at night and fled away. So Ashwatthama got the idea. He said that this is the way I should take revenge. So he took his sword and went into the Pandava tent and he started to slaughter everyone. He killed Drishtadyumna, his father's murderer, and he also killed the five sons of Draupadi. Draupadi had five sons from five Pandavas. So Ashwatthama killed them at night. Fortunately, by Krishna's divine arrangement, the Pandavas were not in the tent. So the next morning when Draupadi got to know that all her five sons had been killed by Ashwatthama, she was very much heartbroken. So here Arjun pacified her and he got into his chariot, picked up his weapons, most furious weapons, and chased Ashwatthama. And when Ashwatthama saw that Arjuna was coming like that, he fled out of fear, due to fear of his life. And here in this verse, text 18, his running away has been compared to Brahma's running away from Lord Shiva's anger, and also Bindun Mal is running away from Sun God, Arka. So Prabhupada pointed out that Rudra Bhayat Tathaka can mean actually two things. Arka is Surya, Sun God, or Ka is Brahma. The firstborn is signified by the first letter of alphabet. Ka is the first letter of Sanskrit alphabet, and Ka also signifies Brahma, the firstborn. So there are two incidences. One is Brahma became attracted to his daughter. He lost his senses and he became attracted to his daughter, and at that time Rudra, Lord Shiva, when he saw that although that the father is actually running after his own daughter. So he became very angry at Brahma, and with the trident in his hand he attacked. He chased Brahma for this abominable act on his part. And at that time Brahma ran away. Brahma was running, and then he gave up his body. And that body became, that body that he gave up turned into mist. He ran after Sandha, his daughter. Another name of Sandha is evening. Sandha means evening. And the mist appears in Sandha. Sandha actually also means when the day turns into night, and when the night turns into day. These are the two Sandhas, morning and evening. And at that time, mist appears. So Brahma was so, Brahma felt so bad, so much, he felt so repentant that he gave up his body. That's why Mahaprabhu, regarding Chota Haridas, gave that instruction that when someone, especially when a sannyasi, indulges in such abominable act, then he should give up his body. Because this body, which is so sinful, which is developing this kind of, which is so degraded and indulging in such degraded activity, it's better that this body is given up. And then probably another body will, one will get another body, and that body will be more suitable for spiritual purpose, for spiritual practice. Therefore, when Chota Haridas, when Mahaprabhu's associate Chota Haridas, junior Haridas, fell down, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could detect that he had a fall down. And Mahaprabhu rejected him. He would not accept him. So Chota Haridas, when he saw that Mahaprabhu won't accept him, many of Mahaprabhu's associates pleaded to Mahaprabhu for being merciful to Chota Haridas and forgiving him. But Mahaprabhu said, then you stay with him and let me go. He was so strong in his stand. He said, if that is what you want, then you stay, but I'm leaving Jagannath Puri. So then everyone realized that Mahaprabhu is not going to listen to any request or any pleading. So when Chota Haridas realized that Mahaprabhu is not going to accept him, so he went to Triveni, the confluence of three rivers, Ganga, Jamuna and Saraswati, and he gave up his body there. So that system was actually set by Lord Brahma, that when a person who is aspiring for spiritual advancement falls down, should give up his body. Another idea, another incidence also was Lord Surya. Ka here can also mean Arka, that's another name of sun god. There was a demon called Bidyunmali, and Bidyunmali had a chariot which was brilliant, glowing. And so Bidyunmali was going behind the sun's chariot. So when the sun set, he was there, and the whole world again became lit up. So there was no night. So all the time, because of Bidyunmali's glowing chariot, the rays from his chariot lit up the world again. So that's why Vidun, Arka, our son, became very angry. And he melted the chariot of Vidunmar with his rays. So that Lord Shiva became very angry because Vidunmali was a devotee of Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva gave him this chariot. So when Sun God, Arka, melted that chariot, Lord Shiva became very angry. He said that I gave the chariot to him and he dares to melt it. So he attacked Lord Vivashan or Suryadev, who fled away, and then at last he fell down at Varanasi, which is the town of Lord Shiva. And from that time, because Arka fell down, therefore another name of Varanasi is Alarka. Now this is another typical characteristics of Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva often gives demons, and those demons create disturbance. And often Krishna has to come personally to kill the demon or take care of that disturbance that he's creating. So, and Lord Shiva, when he comes back to his senses, he feels very bad. But Krishna then pacifies him. He says, it doesn't matter, don't worry. But don't give that kind of form. Be careful, because these demons are big troublemakers. And they please you very easily, and then they take advantage of your goodness. But then again, Lord Shiva forgets about it and gives a boon to the demons. Another name of Lord Shiva is Bholanath, who is very forgetful. He doesn't remember things, or he doesn't keep things within himself. He forgets. He is very merciful. Lord Shiva is actually a devotee, and that's the nature of a devotee. Another name of Lord Shiva is Ashutosh. Ashutosh means one who is very quickly pleased, very easily pleased. Lord Shiva is pleased very easily. One hunter was hunting from top of a tree, bale tree, and Lord Shiva was meditating underneath. Lord Shiva usually sits under a bale tree. You don't get bale trees here. So, when the hunter shoot an arrow to some animal, the arrow touched a leaf while flying through, touched a leaf and cut a leaf, and the leaf fell on Lord Shiva's head. And Lord Shiva becomes very pleased when someone offers him bale leaf. And just as Krishna becomes pleased when someone offers him tulasi, Lord Shiva becomes pleased when someone offers him bale leaf. So when the bale leaf fell on at his head, or maybe at his feet, at his feet, then Lord Shiva became very pleased. And he said, who is that who offered me this bale leaf? Tell me, what boon do you want? So he is always ready to offer some boon to anyone who pleases him, and he is very easily pleased. But then, knowing that Lord Shiva is very easy to please, that he is Ashutosh, the demons take advantage of him. Like they do something to please Lord Shiva, and then they get some very great boons from him, and then they start creating disturbances. Like one demon, he pleased Lord Shiva and got the boon that whoever he would place his hand on, his head would crack into pieces. So then Lord Shiva says, fine, granted. And then the demon said, so let me see whether it works. Come, I'll put my hand on your head and let's see whether this boon works. So Lord Shiva then ran for his life. And finally Krishna came to his rescue, asked him, hey Shiva, what's happened? Why are you running like this? So Shiva said that I gave this kind of boon to such and such demon. So, and he now want to experiment upon me. So Krishna said, okay, let me see what I can do. So he immediately turned himself into a brahmana. And he saw the demon coming there running. So he asked the demon, hey, what happened? Why are you running like this? Then the demon said, I got a boon from Lord Shiva that upon whosoever head I put my hand, his head would crack into 1,000 pieces. Then Lord Shiva said, and then the brahmana, Krishna, said, do you believe that? Do you believe that she really gave you such a boon? And he said, why don't you see, actually it is not true. You can put your hand on your head and see it doesn't work. And of course, Krishna's Jogamaya bewildered the demon. And the demon put his hand on his own head. And his head cracked into 1,000 pieces. Then Krishna actually told Lord Shiva, I told you Shiva, I told you Shankar, don't give this kind of boons to the demon. And Lord Shiva fell down at his feet and said, please forgive me, my Lord. Hare Krishna, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Does anybody have any questions?
It's often understood that the cause of the annihilation of Kurukshetra was Draupadi's anger, but how she was dealt with. Krishna often said that because of her anger. And yet, she forgave Ashwatthama. So I was trying to wonder why.
There are two considerations. Like, in one hand, Draupadi's anger actually caused the battle. At the same time, because the Kauravas insulted Draupadi like that, they lost all their piety. So they became weak. And as a result of that, they lost the battle. And when the battle was over, then Draupadi became pacified. Otherwise, she was very, very upset. She took a vow that she would never tie her hair. Just to remember that. And in Mahabharata we see that she was, although Yudhishthira was very peaceful, but Draupadi couldn't forget. Draupadi and Bhima are two persons who couldn't forget. And that's the attitude of a chaste lady. She can tolerate everything, but she can't tolerate insult to her chastity. When Prabhupada said that it would have been better if you were engaged in service. Because service is all purifying. But then again, one should have that very strict standard in front in his mind or in front of him so that he doesn't fall down. Otherwise, they'll say, okay, I'll fall down and then I'll get involved. Actually, you have to understand that the sannyas order is very lofty order, and the order must be maintained with full honor. The order must be honored, and those who are in that order, they must be very strict with themselves. Actually, the other day somebody was asking me, and that's what I told him. That the best way to remain fixed up is to remember that standard. Fine, you can fall down, but after that, you have to go to Thriveni and give up your body. See, now the choice is yours. Now, Maharaj, what do you say? Yes. Duryodhana actually approached him when Lakshmana, Samba kidnapped Lakshmana, Duryodhana's daughter. Then the Kaurava army arrested Samba, and then when the news reached Dwarka, the Jadus became very upset. So they were preparing for a fight with the Kauravas. But Balaram said, they are our friends and they are related to us. So let's not get into a fight. I will go and I will mediate and make them release Samba. But when Balaram went, Duryodhan and other Kauravas were very insulting. Balaram personally went to mediate and they would not release Samba. So at that time, Balaram became very angry and he took his plow and he wanted to take the whole Hastinapur and throw it in the Jamuna. And he did that. He, with the plow, he was pulling the city of Hastinapur. And there was a big earthquake and the whole thing started to sway due to Balaram's pull with the plow. So then all the Kauravas came running to him and begged forgiveness. Said, okay, it's alright. And they released Samba. Samba got married to Lakshmana. So at that time, Duryodhan took lesson of mess fight from Balaram, knowing that he's the best mess fighter. Misuse, actually we have to understand that when the Lord performs his pastimes, it's a pastime, it's a play. And different individuals play different roles. But they all are actually his own men. Like on a stage, somebody acts the villain. But it's not that he is a villain. He is playing the role of a villain. So in Krishna's pastimes, Duryodhan played that role. And Balaram, it was a part of the game. It was a part of the pastime. And it was also, after all, they were related to Duryodhan. Krishna himself went to Duryodhan's palace. They were relatives, actually. And so when Duryodhan apologized for his mistake and begged forgiveness and then expressed his desire to learn mess fight. He was a Kshatriya, so that was his way of accepting him as a guru. And this is the custom: when someone insults a great personality, then he should accept him as a spiritual master, to pacify him. Just like Pundarik Vidyanidhi was insulted, or not insulted, but Gadadhar Pandit thought unfavorably about Pundarik Vidyanidhi. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him that he should go and take initiation from him. Because he insulted him, the way to neutralize that insult or Vaishnava Aparad is to take initiation from him. Mahaprabhu told Madhu Sachi also about Advaita Acharya. She didn't take initiation, but she went and apologized. And this is a kind of, this is a way of begging forgiveness from a great personality. So Duryodhana accepted Balaram as his guru. And the way to accept him as a guru was learning some learning some art of warfare from him. When he was playing that role, he was actually influenced by Kali. He was kind of Kali's Shakta Vesha avatar. You know, empowered. He became empowered by Kali. So we have to understand that he is an individual who, to play the role, became influenced by Kali and played the role very well. Because of... Yes. Krishna's pastimes are arranged by Yogamaya. But Prabhupada pointed out that one should not take their example. You see, they are fine playing the role. Like, when we see a drama, we should follow the hero. We shouldn't follow the villain. So we should not follow these villainous characters. So that's the lesson we learn. What we should not be by seeing these characters. We must learn what we should not be.
Golok Vrindavan said that there are no demons, no rumors. And by transmitting this Krishna, so in the spiritual sky, the dwarf in the spiritual sky, that also just everyday kingly activities, or is there also battling going on? Frankly speaking, we don't hear a Christian talk without some fight going on.
The question is, in Vrindavan there is no demon. Now, in Krishna's Dwarka pastimes, do they also have enemies and battles going on? No, in Vaikuntha, actually Dwarka is Vaikuntha, topmost region of Vaikuntha. So there is no enmity with Krishna and no fight. That's why we see Joy and Vijay. They, in order to give Narayan that, the experience of that mellow, taste of that mellow, had to fall down on the earth planet and become his enemy and give him a fight. Now in Dwarka, there is no fight like that. Only on the earthly pastimes of Dwarka they have. Because when there is no enemy, where is the question of fighting? But they remember. They remember, as you were saying, like as a dream, but as some experience with that they had long time ago, the residents of Dwarka remember, just as the residents of Vrindavan remember activities of the demons. But they can't figure out whether it was Bhoma Vrindavan or Golok Vrindavan. The earthly Vrindavan, that happened in the earth Vrindavan or in spiritual Vrindavan. They think that it actually happened in the spiritual Vrindavan. In a sacrifice, the wife also participates with the husband. And she is made sanctified just as the husband, the performer of the sacrifice, the organizer of the sacrifice, the king, gets prepared for the sacrifice by being properly sanctified. Similarly, his wife, the queen, also gets sanctified. And so Draupadi is Draupadi was going through the process of sanctification at that time. And then it happened just after the Radhishri Yoga was performed. Here, generally the Vedic custom is that a lady ties her hair. But not to tie her hair was a big vow, was a big thing. And she wanted to remember that insult until her husband took revenge. And in order to remember herself and in order to remind them, she kept her hair loose. Was Shankar. Shankar actually means mixture. And Lord Shiva's position is kind of mixed between spiritual and material. That's why he is Shankar. Yes, Mataji. Mahabharata is actually the principal theme of Mahabharata is Karma Kanda, Paichi, and it's Mahabharata is not actually directly speaking about pure devotional service. Therefore, as a devotee, our understanding is different from the conclusion of Mahabharata. And Mahabharata actually says that Yudhishthira's chariot touched the ground because he told a lie. This way they are actually, for common people, they are upholding the principle of truthfulness. But a devotee's understanding is even transcendental to that concept. And the devotees, as devotees we know that Yudhishthira Maharaj's chariot touched the ground not because he told a lie, but he disregarded the instruction of Krishna. That is the devotee's understanding. After all, Yudhishthira did not lie. The Ashwatthama was killed. So in that sense we can see that he didn't lie. So why then his chariot touched the ground? And why did then he had to see the hell? The reason is disregarding Krishna's instruction. The ultimate consideration of sin is to disobey Krishna's order. And the ultimate consideration of piety is to obey Krishna's order. So these incidences are actually Karma Kandiya principles for common people. The common people, you know, have to be moral. Therefore, these moral considerations have been upheld. But the devotional consideration is anukullena sankalpa pratikulla shubhigarjana. Accept whatever is Krishna conscious, whatever is favorable to Krishna consciousness, and reject whatever is not. If there is something that is not favorable to Krishna consciousness, it doesn't matter, whatever it is, must be rejected. Now, about who organized the Harishchandra play, who wrote the script? I have a question. Huh? I see. Where did you get, where did you get the last part where Harishchandra was going to kill his wife? Anyway, I was curious because I didn't remember the last part that he was about to behead his wife. Yeah. Anyway. Yeah, she had another question, I think. Yeah, you had a... Yeah, ultimately in the scriptures, the Krishna conscious principles have been upheld above social, above all social and moral considerations. For example, the Battle of Kurukshetra. Like in the Battle of Kurukshetra, all the laws of warfare were broken. And in this way, it is pointed out the final consideration, the highest consideration is to follow Krishna's order. If Krishna says, break the principle, break the principle. And so in this way, it has been pointed out time and time again actually in the scriptures that the ultimate consideration is to follow Krishna's order and to give pleasure to Krishna. Yes, Maharaj.
There is another consideration about this. Actually, Parva failed to kill or to defeat of money. And at that time, they made a big problem. Those all seven Maharajis who were practicing the mantra, they got together. And he was defeated and killed the treasure. Because they did that, then afterwards any such situation arose, then Krishna was telling them to follow them. What they did to of money was he defeated.
Yeah.
So what was, where was that consideration for them? They had broken the law.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right. The ultimate thing is that if we break the law for Krishna, it is dharma. And if one does not follow the orders of Krishna, whether he is right or wrong, whether he is moral or immoral, it's all immoral. But that's true, like Krishna made that arrangement just to point out that ultimate consideration is that, and he...
Because that is there in Mahabharata.
Right.
When the Lord was talking to Yudhishthira Maharaj, then the Lord said that, don't you remember what they did to our money?
Yeah.
And then when the Lord is asking to shoot at Arjuna, and then Arjuna refused, first he refused, he said, no, he is not in position, so I shouldn't shoot. Then immediately the Lord reminded him, you forget, but did we do?
And was the money we was unharmed. And he was shooting it. So shoot. And then I've been shot. Yeah. Yeah, thank you, Maharaj. Gauranga Premananda, I'll take the last question. I'm already 15 minutes over time. Yeah. He is in touch with Mahamaya, but he is not under Mahamaya. You see, Lord Shiva is the husband of Maya. So the husband is always superior to the wife. supposed to be. So he never comes under control of Mahamaya. And whenever, if it happens, if Lord Shiva allows him to come under Mahamaya, then Mahamaya becomes ashamed. Like Kali, have you seen Kali's form? How does she look like? Her tongue sticking out. And she is standing above Lord Shiva's body. So Lord Shiva actually did that. He lay down on the way of Kali to stop her. Kali was actually killing a demon called Raktavija. The Raktavija had the boon that wherever his blood would fall, another form would come out. So and he started creating a big trouble everywhere. So then Kali decided to kill him. And in order to kill him, she wouldn't let even a drop of his blood fall on the ground. Because if it did, then he would again appear. So she was chopping his head, and wherever his blood was falling, another one was coming, and she kept on chopping, and her associates, Dakini, Yoginis, they were drinking the blood before it could fall on the ground. And she became so frenzied by killing the demons in that way that she lost control over herself. She just started killing everyone, left, right and center. And so the creation was about to come to an end. So Kali was asked, Mahamaya was asked, Lord Shiva was asked to stop Kali. And so then Lord Shiva laid down on the way of Kali, and while she was slaughtering the demons and moving in this way, Kali stepped onto Lord Shiva. And as soon as she did that, she realized what a great offense she made. She became superior to her husband by doing that. That's why her tongue, she, in order to express her shame, her tongue stuck out. I don't know whether in the West you do that, but in India, when one is ashamed, he just takes